Hey, wake up, everybody. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, live from Simpsonville, South Carolina, where I'm getting an accent. Can you hear it? It's great to be here, everybody. Thank God. And our thoughts and prayers are everybody in Kentucky dealing with that stuff. Could you imagine? I came to Florida to avoid a hurricane. Next thing you know, caught up in a whirlwind. Anyway, it's a weird day. It's a weird time, but it's still Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time to make fun of all of this, one way or the other. That's what we do here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We make fun of it. As bad as it is, going to try. And I couldn't be more blessed to have two comedians with me today to help me in this cause. I'm really hoping that they're both ready for the challenge of trying to get things going as doomsy as things are. Doomsy? Anyway, two great comedians, Mr. Dale Jones, Brandon Vestal. Welcome, fellas.
Hello.
Hey.
Do you see me?
You guys, I'm hoping you guys are in a chipper. Yeah, we see you. I hope you're in a chipper mood because it's just been crazy. And, you know, I need you guys to kind of bring me up out of this doldrum. I'm just feeling, I need some.
Oh, you called the wrong guy.
Yeah, I just found some silica on the desk and I'm serious.
Yeah, I thought I thought there's another kind of pot. I thought this was a feelings podcast. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Let me grab my acoustic guitar
and play you a song. Yeah. Welcome, fellas. Good to see you guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Dale, you've had an interesting year. You won the contest, $5,000. You won $5,000 in the contest. To me, it doesn't matter the name of the contest. You won $5,000.
Oh, I'll tell you what matters to me about that contest. It was the winners. That's why I went back. It was all the winners from the contest. And that's why I wanted to go back. Because everybody was like, oh, you just show up for these? And I go, no, it's a bunch of winners. I wanted to go after them and see how things worked out. And then, of course, you think something's going to happen from it. And they say, hey, congratulations. And you go home.
Now, when you say happens from it, like, you know, something from it, hey, if this is a, you know, this is going to launch me. Someone's going to call me. There's going to be a this. Hey,
yeah,
you know what? This
because I went to one. It was the Slow Fest. You and I had been there before. That felt weird. I can't put my hand up. That was strange. And XM Radio was there, and I ended up getting in the rotation. So that was really cool. So that's what I mean by something positive.
Yeah,
spinning in. Yeah, and that paid my mortgage during the pandemic. So that paid off years later. You know. So I was hoping something, you know, would pop, but it is what it is. It's all baby steps. We know that.
Tiny baby steps. One-footed babies.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
web toes, baby steps.
One foot, one baby, no crutch, just a sad hopping baby. What?
Just trips.
Do you enjoy contest festivals, Brandon?
No. No, I don't like the competition. Because then you go walk out of there. If you don't move on, you're like, what am I doing? I'm not good enough. All that shit. No, I don't like them.
No, I get it too, man.
I like festivals. I love festivals where you just hang out with comics and do shows. That's a blast.
Yeah.
But the competition stuff. Ugh.
Yeah, it's emotional. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're in the hotel all day before the show thinking about nonsense and what am I going to do? What am I not going to do?
Yeah. And, everyone on the show is a head case. So we're not, you know, it's just you're ruining like 30 people if you don't win.
Do you think before a show, this is interesting for etiquette as comics and perhaps people that are at the comedy festivals, but before a show, especially if you're in a contest, do you like when people come up and say shit and bother you with shit?
What do you mean? Like small talk?
Or? Like ask you about, well, let's say, you know, about your act, like, hey, you know, how are you going to do this? Or, you know, or another comic asking you what you're going to do or somebody, anybody asking you what you're going to do in your
set? What kind of jokes? It doesn't bother me. I never really gave much thought. I don't like talking to audiences. I don't like those people at all.
I get that. Because you're in your head. You don't want to be the dancing monkey before you go up.
I get why you don't want to talk to anyone about what you're going to do, though. Yeah, I understand why you wouldn't want to, but it's never really bothered me.
Yeah, nobody asked me what I'm going to
do. Yeah, I don't care. I'm trying to think if anyone's ever asked me what I'm going to do. I don't think they're too worried about it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever asked.
Well, let's think about other comics. Like, you're on the show, and you know, before the show, everybody's hanging out. You know what I mean? Do you talk to other comics you're about to compete with? Do you, what do you do? Is it something you get in your own head? I mean, is there anything behind that, or are you just going to go do? Because every time basically my point is, when I'm sitting there, I'm like, hey, you know, what you doing? You know, I don't know what to talk about. You know what I mean? I try to talk about anything other than comedy. You know?
Yeah, I prefer to do that. I prefer to just shoot the shit and talk, get my head off of it.
I talk to comics I know. I mean, and that's just playing catch up, you know, but I don't ever run up to people and go, hey, how's it going? You know, I think when I met Brandon, I just went up and said, hey, man, good job. And then we shot the shit a little bit, and that was about it. But
let's speak about comedy. You're talking about writing and stuff. We're on that. I'm trying to write. Before the show, we're talking about how we're doing. And that's an interesting thing. You know what I mean? You just put out an album, Dale. So, you know, you're dealing with. You know, people, you know, like you said, that you just put something out and now you're like, wow, I'm going to go perform on stage, you know?
Right.
Tell me what you think about material, what you just did and trying to write new stuff now.
Well, I don't know. I get in my head and think, well, they've all heard it, but then you're like, you're not Gaffigan. Nobody heard it. So just get out of your damn head, man. You're not. You've heard it a million times. Nobody else has heard it. And if they have, they haven't paid attention to it. So, I mean, that's the honest truth. So I just need to figure out in my head. I mean, it took me 10 years for that one, maybe 15. I don't know how long it did. And so I just got to do one word at a time, you know, and just build it all back up again.
I mean,
it's not like I got a record deal, like they're waiting, like you got to have one in a year. It was, you know, it's 800-pound gorilla. They're like, all right, well, when you're ready in 2030, let us know. So, it's not like I got people beating down my door and I'm looking for, you know, Wanda Sykes to help me with the next album or something, you know.
Dude, so you're like the Boston, the musical group Boston of fucking comedy albums. You're going to do one every fucking 15, 20 years. And you're going to have that same acoustic sound.
Right, and then I'll put out two greatest hits in between them.
The best of.
Right.
When was your last album out, Brandon?
I think it came out in 2019. Also with 800-pound gorilla. So I was telling you guys before, I'm like 20-25 minutes short of a new one. I thought I had it, then I scrapped a bunch of stuff. I can't. It's. Ugh.
What is it? What is it that makes you scrap something? What does it take? What does it take to scrap a joke? Because there's comics still telling jokes they should scrap. What does it take for you to scrap a joke?
I just didn't think they were hitting hard enough. I thought they could be. When I look back on them, I'm just like, I don't. If I saw someone doing this, I wouldn't. I'd be like, eh. That's why.
Yeah, no big one.
Yeah. And then I got the COVID jokes that are doing well still, but you're like, how long, much longer can I do those? That's why I just keep rooting for different variants.
There's 44 variants, my friend.
Yeah, just keep the variants coming because I got to keep these jokes in the ads. So I'm pro variant right now. I'm out on my own little limb here, pro variant.
Your material is gonna survive time, dude. There's 44 fucking variants.
Yeah,
change one word.
The pro variant Vestal tour.
It's a weird thing, right? It's a weird thing when there's a joke that, let's say, there's certain jokes that the opposite. There's jokes that. You know, I tell that I know are great, but I'm just kind of tired of telling them, right? I mean, I want to move
got a ton
on.
Of those.
And then there's the jokes that you just wrote and you're hoping, you know, like I won't tell the joke, but I have a joke about, you know, I don't have any kids and it's my UFC joke about not having kids. So it's like, there's crowds where it's been like this, you know, like it's great and then it's not. And then these people don't know UFC, you know, the knowledge they have to have to get the joke, you know, something. And I'm like, I don't want to put it to bed. I'm like, I got to find a way to make it work. So it's interesting, right? When you have a joke that you don't know if you want to tell anymore or not.
Yeah. And the other thing is, Dale was talking about people who've seen your stuff and who hasn't seen it or heard it. I'm trying to figure out, what do you post online? Because how much of a bit do you post online that you're still doing? Because when people come see, they probably went on your social media to see what kind of stuff you do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just living my head, just like Dale's talking about. It's fun in here. You guys should come try it.
We should do that. You know, we should play musical heads.
Oh, yeah, you do. So you know what's up. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Then you're on stage and you do the bit that they've already put in the promo, and then you could just feel the audience go, and you're like, oh, man, everybody.
Or you they yell out a punchline before you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to fight them. You know, I don't know how strict you guys are with your audiences, but if you mess up my joke, we have to physically fight.
Yeah.
So
you stay.
You have to stop the show, have to go out in the audience, fight. Hopefully I win so I can finish the show.
Right. And you got to sweep up the glass.
Yeah.
The staff just love you. That's nuts, man. But it's true. It's nuts to write it. I had that happen. I think it was at the Comedy Cabana that happened. The person shot out my punchline. I'm like, I got to take that shit off my website. You're right about that, about the material, because that's most of the stuff I've been posting lately is crowd work shit. You know, like moments on the set, you know, I just take that and put that out because, you know what I mean? You copy it if you want. I don't care. You know, it's weird about that, right? 800.
I don't do a lot of crowd work. You do a lot of crowd work, Brandon?
I don't like to, no. No, I don't consider myself particularly good at it. So I don't like to put that much power in the audience's hands.
You know, I get that. I'm kind of the same way. I'll talk to them if they talk to me, but other than that, I just,
If I can't ignore it, I'll address it, but I try to ignore it as much as possible because you could go wrong fast.
Well, let me ask you that, guys, because that was actually one of the topics we were going to talk about today was your feeling on crowd work. Like Dale said, I try not to do it. I have jokes that I'll say something that'll lead to it. You know what I mean? I won't sit there and just openly turn up a dialogue. You know, I'll ask something mention something, expecting somebody to say something and then come off it. But it's not like, especially as headliners, is that a no-no? I mean, how do you feel when somebody, like I say, a feature opening act does, let's say not only does it, but does a lot of it? Or is there anything that there's any degree of it that
I don't care. As long as it's not like if it's a drunk rowdy crowd, I prefer them not to talk to them that much because it just eggs them on. Then they train them to be involved. But if it's just a normal crowd, I don't mind if it's just, they're just doing crowd work. Yes. Doesn't bother me.
Hmm. Yeah. I feel the same way. As long as they think they're helping and part of the damn show.
Because you guys know if it's a drunk people, once you talk to them, they get stronger. It's like they're spinach.
Did you say spinach?
Yeah, they just get stronger and drunker at the same time.
Pretty soon their forearms are this big around. It's
they're just like 6 feet tall. I wrote jokes for you. I prepared something for you. I came here to entertain you.
Oh my God, that's funny. In my scene here, there's a lot of newer comics, which is a great, nice scene here in Greenville area. There's a lot of newer comics. And the one thing I recognize somebody does something is when they ask questions a lot, you know, I'm like, listen, you don't have to ask questions. Just go into your joke. You know what I mean? You don't have to ask you sit there and you go up there and the person before you asks 1,000 questions in 5 minutes. You're like, no questions, everybody. This is not a voir dire situation.
Hey, everyone. Hey, comics. The crowd's doing fine. They're doing great. It's all good.
How's everybody doing?
Y'all good? You doing good? Yes, they're good. They're fine. It's been established.
It's fucking hilarious when that happens.
That's the problem though, because when you start out, like I was supposed to get the crowd focused as an MC and ask a bunch of questions and get them clapping their hands as much as possible. And then that just rolls right into when you're a feature and it just keeps going. And then you realize, I don't want to do that anymore, you know, but that's what I was told as an MC to always do. And I think that's part of the problem. Maybe that was a 90s thing, you know.
I think that's a good
point. No, I get the MC doing it. MC makes sense. But by the time the feature, if there's a guest set, right. The headliner's up there, three people have asked them how they're doing. And
no, I get that.
How's it going, everybody?
It's even funnier when you see it at a festival or a contest. Everybody walks
out. Oh, God, yeah, people. Yeah.
How you guys
or
doing?
Lineup show, we got 14 comics on the show, and every one of them are very concerned about how you're doing.
Very concerned. That's what you should do. You should go at Brandon after all them and say, I am not concerned anymore about how you're doing.
I've done it before. I don't give a shit how you're doing.
Exactly.
I wrote these jokes. I could have a regular job with a pension right now, but no, I'm here with you. Wrote these jokes. I don't give a shit how you're doing. Here's how I'm doing.
That's fucking great. Exactly. I don't give a fuck how you people are doing. That's the pace. Brandon, I think you and I, we worked together at a Looney Bin or something, right? I think it was originally. Yeah. And, you know, the blessings I have when I get to work with people like you guys and stuff coming up, and it's watching that, you know what I mean? And just seeing that and that pace, because you think sometimes this is a pace, sometimes you think this is a pace of a comic, but fuck, if you got something to say, they're going to listen to you, you know?
Yeah.
Dale, on the other hand, on stage is a fucking...
I have nothing to say.
Well, I've seen the headshot, so he's crazy.
Yeah, right?
Well, I'm crazy.
You don't walk into my show and go, hey, tonight we're going to learn.
This is pretty deep.
This guy's obviously a thinker. Yeah, that's not happening.
Sometimes criticism of comics, and I've heard other comics, people accusing people of doing act outs and things like that. I recently worked with Sean Jones, very funny comic who does a lot of act outs, and he's a fucking crusher. I mean, you know what I mean? And somebody was telling this, another comic, and I just pictured in my head, Sean Jones came into my head, and I go, he does act outs. I'd like to see you tell him he sucks because he does act out. You know what I mean? Does it any of that really matter? Is it just the voice of the comic that matters? I mean, you know what I mean? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's just your act and how you pull it off.
I mean, if it's like, you and
if it comes off as authentic, like I, you know, the guys that, and I'm guilty of this too, but, and you have to break yourself of the habit, but like I don't do a fake laugh, but you see comics that'll do a fake laugh at the same joke every time. You know what I mean? It's making sense.
So
I try to break myself of those habits, because you're like, I was in a habit where this one joke, I would tell a joke and I'd always take a drink of water after that joke.
Yeah.
It's just these little ruts you get in. I don't know. I forgot what we were talking about.
What you were talking about, first of all, like criticize, like, whether it's act outs, whether it's one liners, whether it's storytelling. I mean, you know what I mean? Whatever, to me, when I think of comedy, I was a musician before I was ever a comic. So I think of music, you know, I think of putting an ensemble together when I'm on stage. I think of it in that way, you know? So I want to tell, if it's a loud crowd and I've got to get energy, I got one liners and quick ones I got to try to throw out to get them to start listening to me. You know what I mean? I think of it that way as a strategy. And then, once I got them, okay, now I can get into some stories. Now I can get into, you know, but that's who, like you said, it's just who we are. It's the thing you mentioned about laughing at our, I really lose my shit when somebody on stage is laughing harder at their jokes than the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling the whole. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you've seen them do that bit before and they laugh just as hard. That's disturbing.
I recently saw somebody on stage. I say recently, in the last 6 months, I see somebody on stage that I swear to God, the guy was laughing so hard, I thought he was going to need a fucking puffer. You know what I mean? It's like I'm like, dude, I mean, and it's one thing that, like you said, you know, Doc, was it at the Fat Doctor, one of the first comics, Fat Doctor. I mean, he used to have that, you know, some comics have that, you know what I mean? They have a laugh that's, you know what I mean?
Fat
that's
doctor. Part of that. Who's the Fat Doctor?
You know, I never heard of the Fat Doctor.
No. Fat Doctor actually was somebody that Richard Pryor used to look up to and work with. He was fat, and I don't know if he was a doctor, but I met him at the old New York Comedy Club in Boca Raton. He was like a regular headliner that would come in there. And
okay.
Yeah, but he had that, like, he would tell a joke. You know what I mean? It was one of those, it became part of the timing of it. But I get really pissed when people just laugh more harder than the audience. It's a little bit crazy.
I wish I could laugh at my own joke like that.
Yeah.
I made myself chuckle like that.
I've been known to giggle on stage, but I always giggle in different parts because I'm just so, I just can't believe people are still looking at me.
He's like, I can't believe they're buying. I can't believe they're
showing. I just get tickled. I'm still holding the silica. I'm not totally out of this yet. I just get to acting. I'm up there playing and acting like a damn 12-year-old. So I always giggle, but I'm always giggling at a different part. It's never a set.
Yeah, it's part of your thing.
Yeah, not like I'm going to do this and then there's the laugh. It's like I could go, you know, 20 shows and then all of a sudden I'll giggle at that part, you know. But it's not a set thing. I don't have to. And then sometimes I'll make myself on purpose not do, you know, just be really try to see if I can do it without enjoying any of it, I guess is a good way to say it. I'm going to do this show and not have any fun.
Now, that is interesting, right? I think that's great. Like when you're delivering fucking laughs, you know, and delivering stuff and you got a fucking face like you've been having taken a shit in a week. You know what I mean? It's like there's something about that, right? Like this guy doesn't look fucking happy at all, but everybody around is laughing his ass off. You know what I mean? I think that's a pretty cool way to do it. Like a choice. I try not to laugh. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been like in the middle of a show and then look at a crowd and thought, oh fuck, like you just fell off the wire. Like, you know, like you didn't even know if you can go say another sentence or you just felt like you were like, you know, you really started questioning what your ability was. Like, are these people even listening? I mean, these fucking crowd, you know what I mean? Is there something you ever like get in a mode like that on stage? You ever fucking break down like that?
Like eating it?
I don't know, just eating it, but just all of a sudden feeling like, oh, what if I can't forget? Like almost like in a panic moment. Like you feel like this crowd doesn't, whether it's they're not listening or whether, but you just feel like, fuck, I got another 20 minutes or a half hour, whatever it is. And this crowd just, this is not fucking good.
Yeah. And it's the other night,
of course.
Yeah, no wonder he's down.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure you do, but jokes in your act towards the beginning where you kind of test the crowd of like what they're going to go with, how smart they are, if they're picking up on little things.
Yeah
everybody's got their go-to
like
joke.
I'll do that joke, yeah, right? I'll do that to adjust, like, yeah, okay, this is like, the kind okay, of stuff I need to do
people. Right,
yeah. Or I'm going to have to change this stuff up a little bit, be more a little on the nose. These are dumb people. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm kidding.
Sometimes I'll just wake up on stage and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm on stage. You ever had that? You're like, wow, this is a show. I better start.
Yeah, I was telling Dougie before, I spent the last week dealing with a sinus infection and I had to do shows during that time, and I'm so hopped up on NyQuils and all kinds of different things. Different experience doing shows like that.
I've had those where you're in the hotel all day doped up, and then you go do the one show and then you just dope up on medicine and go back to bed again for 12 hours.
Just over the counter drugged up.
Over-the-counter drugged up. That's a t-shirt.
They're saying, don't mix this stuff. And you're like, but I got six shows. I got to mix this stuff.
Barrett, my voice, you know, having to cough on stage. Everyone thinks you got COVID. I mean, it's exhausting. Oh, yeah.
I remember being on stage in Detroit. This was years ago. And apparently I had sneezed and had snot on my shoulder or something. And it took me off. Oh. Hey. He didn't even say anything. He's just like pointing like, hey, you need to look at that. And I just went like this, just smacked my arm fast. It was a nightmare. That was a nightmare flu week. My Lord, it was horrible.
Oh my God, dude. So how long do you think had transpired from the time you had blown your nose till you got rid of that fucking?
There's no telling. I'm so used to
pinching come out yet.
With this look. Like, what the hell's wrong with you anyway? So I don't know. There was no doubt.
That's fucking nuts. Guest spots. How do you guys feel about guest spots? First of all, if you're on a show and there's somebody comes up and does guest spots, or being asked for guest spots?
I'm usually...
Oh, then asking me?
Well, either way, like whatever perspective, like if you're a comic and somebody goes up and does a guest spot, any feelings on it, or, you know, the do's and don'ts of it?
I don't care if the club's given a guest spot. It doesn't bother me. And if I know a person and they ask me, I've seen them perform, you know, I don't mind. But if I don't know you at all, like I have people that'll hit me up, I'm sure you guys do too, when I'm going to a city a couple weeks before asking for guest spots, and I have no clue who they are. I've never met them in my life. Not real big on that, but I don't mind if the club put somebody up.
So I'm going to pull up your calendar and see where you're going to be and see if I can do some guest spots.
Yeah.
If you're all right with it.
Yeah.
Dale?
I don't mind. I mean, same way, though. It bothers me when somebody I don't know at all is like, hey, you're going to be here. I was like, okay. I just feel like that's more the club's job. They're the ones that probably know them. And if they want to put somebody up in front of me, well, it's their club. You know, if I happen to know somebody like Brandon and I think they're super talented, you know, I'm like, oh, yes, you can come on the show. But I don't like running 2 and 3 guest spots like the first show, to the point to where it's an hour before I even get on stage, or hour.
Yeah. Have you had that at a weekend?
Yeah. Well, they'll dump like 3 guys in front of me, like the host, and then 3 guest spots and then feature.
I wouldn't like that. No. 1 guest spot.
Yeah. I get
1 guest spot.
Yeah. Exactly. 1 guest spot. And I prefer like they be
7 minutes at the most too, like 5 to 7 minutes.
Right.
Even that.
Right.
Like now, for our shows at Tavolino's, which are back, and Club Bremen and Isla Mirada, got a monthly in Isla Mirada on a Sunday, if you guys are in Florida, you know, sometimes in lieu of a feature, I'd rather just give 2 people, if you're gonna do a guest spot, I would just have 2 people do like 7 to 10 minutes each and then put the headliner up.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't mind that. As long as time is the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like 45 minutes is the longest I think a headliner should wait before they get on stage. You know, 35 to 45 is the
Yeah.
Otherwise, like I said, it's not fair. You know, 4 people go up and do ass-eating jokes, and you're like, okay.
So like the Little Rock Looney Bin open mic, where it's 8 guys doing rape jokes. rape joke. Brandon Bustel.
And here's Brandon Vessel. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to open up my rape joke.
Yeah. It was all my rape stuff.
Oh, that's fucking crazy.
We had the host in Oklahoma City. That's when I was married to Valerie. And Valerie was the feature. And she had to go up and follow. I had sex with a woman that had a yeast infection so bad when I pulled out, it looked like a corn dog. And she queefed and a biscuit flew out. Please welcome to the stage. I'm not kidding. He didn't even say goodnight. He said, please welcome to the stage. And then he brought Valerie up. And I was like, wow. I couldn't stop laughing. She was ticked. I would understand it too. But from a comic perspective, that's probably why we're divorced. But
wait,
it was
a minute,
ridiculous. That's the worst crazy closer I ever heard in my life. My God.
That is not like, you know, that's funny when that, because the MC or somebody who do that, they want to just that big close. I think you mentioned, it's Looney Bin in Wichita. Somebody was doing their first 3 minutes, their hosting set was ass eating. You know what I mean? I was like, okay. And then, you know, but I think Biggs over there disciplined the guy. You can't be doing fucking ass eating jokes in the first 5 minutes of a show.
Yeah. It's like, here's all our announcements. Whose birthday is it? Ass eating.
Yes. And the drink specials.
Make sure you get a lobotomy. Now let's talk about eating ass.
By the way, don't forget to go to our website and see our next shows.
Oh my God. Fill out your comment cards and hey, don't forget to talk about that ass.
Hey, would you guys accept a female James Bond?
I've been over the James Bond movies for a while, but I don't like just making the male character female just to do it. That's
Right.
exactly what that would be. I would just opt for just make a new character. Make a
Right.
female spy movie,
Yeah.
whatever. I'm fine with
Original.
that, but it's like the Ghostbusters thing. It's just when you're, it
Yeah, that
feels
was it.
so forced.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it, I think. Without, I mean, you're in the West Coast. You're in California. You got to be woke. You can't be saying anything wrong out there.
I'm
Me,
pretty
I fuck up all
woke.
the
Yeah,
time.
pretty woke.
I fuck up all the time. Dale could just say, "Look at my act. Don't judge me on anything I say." He doesn't. You know what I mean? And you can walk around with a fucking helmet.
Made a lot of money signing those helmets.
Well, on the, yeah, I bet. I did it last week's show. We did the story about the University of Pennsylvania or a swimmer that was transgender. But the guy, when you look a picture, I mean, the picture on that came up on the screen was, I mean, it looked like a guy with long hair. I mean, the guy was a swimmer for the for a college a year before.
Yeah, he broke a bunch of records, right? I think I heard
Yeah,
about that.
he won by half a minute, you know, in a fucking swim race. I mean, he could have got out, showered, changed, and had a hot dog before the second place person showed up. You know what I mean?
The hot
And now
dog
it's
the whole
funny.
time. Whoa. No. Cut that
Yeah,
out.
why'd you say hot dog? Why you gotta say hot dog?
Cut that out.
So, yeah, I'm so insensitive, misogynistic. But no, now it's happened ever since we told. Well, somebody said, though, you know, that you weren't mean. You know, you said he was a guy. It was a guy. I mean, look at the, you know, look at him, look at the photo. But now a lot of the other girls on the team had come out, and they're all saying, "Yeah, we don't fucking dig this. You know what I mean? We have to put on that
Yeah.
fucking face," which is interesting. A whole other story. But yeah, James Bond, you know what I mean? Like getting, you know, Superman's son's gay or bisexual now and stuff like that. You're like, okay, I guess it matters.
Superman had a son?
Yeah, Lois Lane and Superman had a baby. You know, and kudos to Lois Lane.
No
Because if you
kidding.
ever watch Superman, Superman can stop a fucking asteroid. And you know when Superman is doing his thing. You know, does he, you know, does Superman know how to go into human like orgasmic mode? You know what I mean? I mean, that's a real champ there, that Lois Lane. Well, you know, how would, if Lois Lane got divorced from Superman, who would she go out with after? Is she gonna fucking date the
Batman.
Hulk? Thor?
Yeah,
Ben
Ben
Batman,
Affleck.
because he's got all the gadgets.
Affleck.
Yeah.
Ben's taking all the side chicks. Fucking,
Oh,
that's good. That's a new joke, Brandon. We got some material for you, buddy.
yeah.
Keep working on that. Any rate. All right. Dr. Fauci suggests that if you're gonna have a holiday party, be sure to ask your attendees to bring their papers. If one of your friends invited you to a holiday party and asked you for your vaccine card, would you go?
First of all,
It
nobody's
would have to
inviting
be a,
me.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. What a hypothetical podcast this has been so far. I mean, it would have to be a really close friend. It'd have to be, I mean, probably not, no. Just that
Yeah.
it would annoy
Okay.
me.
Let's move on. All right, my last question. Let's wrap up our segment and go to our stories. Who is on your Mount Rushmore of comedy? You guys have a Mount Rushmore? Somebody recently asked me that, and I said quickly some names, and then I started thinking about it more. And the more I thought about it, the more I wish I never heard the question. So,
Yeah, it's a tough. I've been asked that before. It's a tough. Like, what perspective are you talking about? Who just makes you laugh the hardest? Who you enjoy watching the most, or is it the most influential to stand up?
yeah, like who made the
What's the
biggest
criteria?
mark? You know what I mean? I
Yeah,
mean,
those
you'd have to,
are different to me.
yeah, like you'd have to include Lenny Bruce, right? Somebody who, like, you know,
Lenny Bruce Pryor, of course, Carlin.
right.
But I think there's funnier people to me personally
Right.
I watch and I enjoy more.
I'm watching the smoke come out of Dale's ears as he's thinking about his.
I would say this thing. I would say like Stephen Wright, Dangerfield.
Dangerfield would be on mine. Robin Williams.
Carlin, did you throw Dyer, Steve Martin on there? Because I mean, he wasn't just a straight stand-up, but he was.
I mean, comedically, great actor, right? I mean, you look at him and.
Yeah, I mean, he did the. I guess he was kind of a prop guy, but he was still hilarious.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he was like anti-show business. So I mean, he had a whole different. Yeah. He was making fun of show business. Was Martin's whole thing.
Just, that's a thing, you know. You start thinking. The more you think about it, the more you're like.
Do you put really Cosby on there?
No.
I don't know, man. You got to separate.
He was huge. He's very influential stand-up.
He was huge. He saved NBC. They were going down, man. That show brought everything.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Newhart.
He was the first guy on first black guy on a sitcom, right? Spy.
Bob Newhart was, yeah. Spy. Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's an ass, but you got to separate the work from the, you know, man, I think. I mean, people still listen to Michael Jackson stuff. We all saw that documentary. We know what the hell he did.
That was rough. That was rough for the old childhood.
Right?
That was rough. That was rough.
Right?
I had to stop. I kept pausing that thing and looking at my wife like, damn, I might never moonwalk again. I can't. Oh, my goodness. That was tough. It took me about 3 days to get through that doc.
Yeah. You're a big Michael Jackson fan?
I mean, I was when I was a kid.
Yeah. You look at that. I mean, you know, the body of work, like you were saying, regarding Cosby. You know what I mean? You think of all that and then that aspect. But that's what life is. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't be John Wayne Gacy and say he was a great painter, you know. And too bad he had that other habit. All right. you know, Hitler was a painter, you know. Listen. Anyway, it's time for the news is a joke, everybody. And we got some stories here that the first story I love. The title is The Black Bitch Pub. Alex Salmond hits out on plans to change the name. This isn't just like a little, I don't know if you guys got the chance to read the story, but this pub has been around for a long time. The Black Bitch Pub. Okay.
Oh, I did read that article. Okay. I know what you're talking about now. Go ahead.
So woke, this is hitting over the pond. I think this is in Ireland or some shit, but the Black Bitch, which is a story of a dog that helped somebody who was stranded on an island, swam across the waters of the English Channel or whatever, and brought food back to somebody who was stranded on the island until he was saved. And that was the Black Bitch. Would you guys go and have a beer at the Black Bitch?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Especially in another country? I didn't name it. I didn't have anything to do with it.
What I don't understand about that article is they say it's racist, which I can understand. Times have changed and they don't want to do that. And they don't know the genesis of the story. All they see is a sign, more than likely. But the whole town doesn't want to change it, is from what I read.
Did you say this is in Ireland?
I think it's maybe Scotland.
Either way, everything over there is like 1,000 years old. It's like trying to apply today to the stuff, and it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm
going to change it to what that, but or something.
The black bitch names come from a local legend of a dog which swam repeatedly to an island with food to help her owner who was stranded on the island. And like you said, a lot of it's they're saying whoever wants to change it doesn't live here. And
yeah, exactly.
That was a great Monty Python. That was.
I was channeling. How do you know she's
what
a witch?
What food is this dog swimming across that's not getting ruined in the water? That's what I want to know.
So you're questioning the whole story, Dale. I don't understand
what food survives.
I think they just wanted to call it the Black Bitch for publicity, and they made up this dog story.
I think so too.
These white
I don't. I'm assuming there's not a lot of.
It wasn't crackers.
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah.
Crackers won't make it across the English Channel. So what's it? Fruit roll up? What the hell is surviving the English Channel? It ain't a sandwich.
Yeah, it was fish. Probably just. Yeah, it was just fish.
Fish. It just, it's got to be fish. Fish. That's it.
It's got to be. Damn, it was some fish and some some of those. Some of those English fish and chips, which are always soggy anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, the chips were shit, but the fish were very fresh.
Pretty good, yeah. Large California school districts eliminate the D and the F grades. Boy, I want my kid to go to that school.
No, my kid's not that bright, so I think this is going to work out good.
Yeah. It's a really scary thing because... You know, I don't know. I mean, kids today just don't know how to deal with adversity. That's why everybody's so fucking freaked out, and you watch people panicking and not going nuts. I mean, isn't adversity like the what teaches us the most important lessons?
I think so. Yeah,
I would say so. Yeah, if I'd been good at basketball, I wouldn't have become a comic. I'd be a loser at everything else. And I was like, I guess I'll stand up and tell people how much I hate myself, and it became a career.
Yeah, I would have just opened a bar called The White Asshole.
About a cat.
That's what I should have done.
That just swam to an island and took care of somebody.
Ah, goodness gracious. I'm just worried about the kids. They gotta fail. You can't tell the kid he failed.
Hey, it doesn't matter, man. We're making robots that are reproducing on their own. We're done. It's over. We got about 50 years left. So do whatever you want. Fuck it. We're done. More positive.
That, did you see how that guy quit the news? You're discussing the end of days. So somebody had mentioned how the guy from MSNBC, the newscaster, who just walked away from it this week. And he had some real
problems. Williams.
Yeah, and he was just like, darkness is now in our pubs, in our and in the elected official. I mean, it was a very cryptid thing, and some people think that he's basically signaling to others that it's time to run for cover.
I was reading the comments on that. There's everyone thinks he's on their side, warning what they think. I don't know who he's talking about, but
it's just chaos. Wasn't Williams the guy years ago that said he was in the helicopter with somebody and it? Was it true? And so why are we believing?
Get shot at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking on fire.
About fighting Thanos. And him and a bunch of his superpower friends saved the world, but Iron Man died. It was something like that.
Snapped my fingers.
And this hot blonde flew through one of the spaceships and blew everything up.
There's one really tiny guy, but he could be big too. It was a crazy story.
And then they had dinner at the White Asshole.
The black bitch was full, so they had to go.
The White Asshole. You get fresh fish and soggy chips at the White Asshole.
Okay. You guys are great.
So why is anybody believing him? That's what I don't get. How did he get his damn job back?
Well, that's how he ended up on MSNBC. He was the main NBC guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's when he got kicked off, when that story happened.
Then he had to step down.
You're a piece of crap, they just put an M in front of their call sign, and then you work out.
He got demoted down to the late night MSNBC show.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. All right, it all makes sense. Cool.
And then the one guy who was on Fox, Wallace, went to a CNN, but like their online shit. I'm like, well, that means you just want to do it from a bunker. What happened to my story? Damn it. We may skip one. All right. Camel beauty contest rocked by Botox scandal. I mean, I didn't know there was camel contest. I mean, of course, the camel. But
what? An actual camel?
Real.
In Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Saudi authorities have conducted their biggest ever crackdown on camel beauty contestants that receive Botox injections and other artificial touch-ups, you know, those and titties. And the state-run Saudi press agency reported Wednesday over 40 camels disqualified. 40 fucking camels. That's a long show. For an annual pageant.
What's the talent portion?
The camel toe.
What are they?
The camel
toe. I was trying to stay away from the camel toe joke. Damn it, was just too easy. I was trying to stay
away. I had to throw it in there. I don't know how much time I want to spend on this fucking story. But, yeah, I mean, camels, I mean, I like watching the Westminster dog. I'm a dog lover, so I like watching a dog show. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of variety of dogs, but a camel show? I mean, oh, look at the tits on that.
Yeah, look at the humps on that.
So they jumped through hoops? Yeah,
They were shooting, they were injecting in, they were giving them hormones, so they were getting like all beefed up. They discovered dozens of breeders had stretched out the lips and noses of camels. Made the noses more, you know.
Oh, those, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Used hormones to boost the beast's muscles, injected camels' heads with lips, and their lips with Botox to make them bigger, inflated body parts. Rubber bands and used fillers to relax their faces. Boy, that's a lot of work.
Did you get this article from the Weekly World News? Where did you get this?
Yeah, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to pick which one is fake?
It's actually from Huffington Post, the story.
Oh,
well. Okay. Is it next to a Bat Boy article or something like that? Or I Met Satan?
Giant skulls.
Yeah, right. The Onion. 86 sports bettors get real lucky, allowed to bet on a game that had already ended. Going back across the pond, somebody fucked up on the date they entered the bet, and it just happened to be about 70 people from Jersey. Figured it out. It was a Manchester United soccer game that they bet on, and you could place the bet up until the date the day after the game was played. So some people saw this.
Nice.
They fucking ate the bets. It just paid out about $25,000.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about. I can get in on that.
Right? I mean,
that's how I started watching sports.
Through betting?
No. I would get too stressed out watching my teams play. So I would just record the games and then watch them, find out if they won or not and watch them. That's way less stressful. So yeah. I'm in on this.
Big game that night with the yeah. I mean, now I think everybody got paid. They were fined for not handling things well, and they're trying to get the money back. But you want to try to get that much money back from people in Jersey?
Yeah. Can you just give it back, please? Come on.
We made a mistake, eh?
Yeah.
Michigan woman faces prison after trying to hire an assassin through a fake website. Here's a little advice to any of you folks out there that want to knock off your spouse. First of all, don't go online and Google it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, DuckDuckGo that shit.
Yeah. A little more privacy. And make sure you have some Bitcoin.
Yeah. First, you get your MV, what are those things called?
A blockchain?
Blocks the. I don't know.
Oh, and I.
It'd be better if I knew what I was talking about. Yeah. They called.
You're not getting any technical help from Dale, by the way. Dale's just sitting there going,
no. Sorry, my dinner bell went off.
Your dinner bell?
We got Alexas all over the house, so they just holler when dinner's ready.
You have Alexas that make you dinner?
Huh?
You have an Alexa that makes you dinner?
No, downstairs making dinner, and then she sent it through the Alexa. She just hollers in because we all go hide in different parts of the house.
You trust one of those things. Now, that's interesting. I want it in my house.
No, I don't trust any of those things. I have nothing to hide, for crying out loud. They can put stuff everywhere and they're just gonna be like, yeah, he likes Star Wars. It really doesn't. I have no secrets. I'm not on this whole thing where, oh, they're gonna figure out what you're doing. Yeah, and they're gonna fall asleep. So I'm not really worried. Exactly. This guy's not taking out the White House anytime soon. He'll be fine.
Yeah, this guy sucks. Next channel. That's what they say about me. This guy's so boring.
How many times can you play Xbox in a day? What's wrong with this guy?
Hey, here's somebody who probably needs to be Alexa listening to. Florida man used flamethrower to settle a parking dispute.
Yeah.
Andre Abbott. Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting one of those. Was it about a year or two ago? They showed somebody taking the snow off their fucking driveway by with a flamethrower.
I saw that. Yeah.
That's actually
going on.
I mean, what would you do if you're
once
out
upon a time in Hollywood?
Yeah, your neighbor goes out there. Yes. That would be, you know, fucking, like, you know.
You could go out with amazing. It and say, "Hey, why do you have that? I'm anti-gun."
Yeah, I don't want to have an AR-15 in my house. It's too dangerous.
Guns scare me. Now, please step away from my parking spot.
Yeah. What's the waiting day period on a flamethrower? Is there any waiting day on that, or you just immediately, just as soon as the
quick as Amazon can get it to you?
Yeah, right, one day delivery, Prime flamethrower.
Yeah,
that's your.
What part?
I'm sitting on a cargo ship.
This was in Gainesville. Florida man, angry over his neighbor's parking habits, sprayed fire from a commercial flamethrower toward a car with three teenagers inside who probably shit themselves. No one was hurt. Andre Abrams, 57, of Gainesville, is facing three counts of felony aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intending to kill. Well, it's nice.
Just intending to warm up.
Just intending to piss off a little bit.
Intentional warming.
Let's try to scare him. All right, our last story of the day, thank God. Italian diet.
That's the way you want these to end. Our last story. Thank God.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody's so fucking down. I'm just glad that Brandon did it from all the shit he's been through. We're not going to share. You know what I mean? And you
I'm
know,
having
Dale,
a good time.
You're thinking about going and eating some fucking Pop Tarts right now. Now, in all fairness,
hey,
Jody's
it's chicken Jody's pot cook. Pie. Damn it, I'm in Georgia.
Oh yeah,
Pop Tarts are the shit,
dude. My wife is making a beef stew right now, which is delicious as fuck. So I can't wait to go eat. Trust me.
My wife ain't making shit. No. Nope.
I'm waiting on a dog to swim across a lake and bring me food.
Yeah, she sent the dog. The Pacific days ago, that fucker isn't back yet. We're starving.
Soggy hot pockets.
Let me ask you guys this, since you're all married, the holidays are upon us. Fuck the other story. You guys, I'm really, it's just stupid. You guys still buy shit for your wives for Christmas?
Yeah.
We're at the, yeah, I get one thing. We get each other one thing, nothing big. And then, but we usually do the bigger present is a group thing we want for the house or something.
Right.
Usually.
Right.
That's where we're at.
Okay. So,
I get a list.
How do you buy it? Yeah. She
do. Cause I'm, but that's she knows I'm going to screw it up. I know I'm going to screw it up. So she just points and it's like a Waffle House menu right here, right? This. Okay.
That's why I think gift cards, people don't like them, but I think gift cards are fantastic.
Yeah.
People don't think those I think those are fantastic gifts. You go to get what you want here.
You know what I mean? My wife did that this year. Like, she bought a bunch of clothes and she did shit. Like, I bought her, she spent like a lot of money on just her own shit. This is my gift. And I said, all right, that's cool. You know, my gift is I bought a new soundboard that's coming in for my podcast and shit. I need a new one. Buy my own shit. Because the problem is if I try to buy her something, she sees it on the credit card. It hits her fucking phone. You know, she says, oh, he went to Jared. You know what I mean? And then it's not a surprise. You know what I mean? And then how much more jewelry do you want to, you know, do you want
to
buy?
Well, it sounds like you need to get your own credit card.
That's how it starts, man. That's how it starts.
Stop mooching off your damn wife's credit card. I don't know why you can't get your...
Well, that's the problem. It's mine. She does all the bills and shit. I think that's the problem. It's hard for me to be secretive and buy something.
I think we found the problem.
Yeah. So you guys handle your own money?
I didn't even, did you buy the ring when you asked her to marry? Did you already have the ring and boom? Because I didn't. I just said, hey, I want to marry you. And then we'll, you go pick out what you want to wear. Because I knew I was going to fail miserably on that. Did you guys have the ring ready to go?
No, but I was given pictures of my options when that day did come. She didn't know when that day was coming, okay. But we were been together long enough. Like, if the day does come, one of these.
That's nice. Kind of thing.
So I,
okay.
Yeah, that was fairly easy. That was probably the last easy thing that I bought for her.
Wow. The first
I just gave her an envelope with money and said, this is 10% of my earnings.
Here, take this to store trade.
And she was happy, man. She went online. She ordered her the ring she wanted. She was ecstatic. So I didn't know
that's if
that
matters. That's all that probably should matter, right? That, you know, hey, like my wife buys whatever. I think the last gift I got her that she really loves, she wanted one of my Breitling watches. You know, she always wanted it because you never wear that one. I'm like, I know, but you know, I want it. So I ended up just getting the link changed for like $15. You know, so that it would fit on, you know, fit her on the wrist, and I gave it to her. So it cost me $15. She was the happiest gift. I said, it cost me $15. And it was, you know, so I don't know. It's just hard to think. It's just hard to think what they want, man. Just so hard to think. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Fucking too exciting. Two gentlemen who look like.
For the feel good hour.
You look like you're going in for colonoscopies after the show. Fucking waiting list. Fucking guys. I was expecting, I said, before the show, I got Dale on it.
I'm loving this. This has been one of my favorites. I really like this one.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It's real.
Yeah, I gotta figure if we're gonna edit anything out. We just may leave it raw to everybody to see it.
You can just edit all the parts I talked. That's fine.
But no, really, guys, good to see you guys, and happy holidays to you and your families. You know, like I said, I'm blessed to work with you guys. You're awesome, and I wish you nothing but the best going into 2022. And hopefully, we'll get to share a condo or a comedy condo sometime. And like I said, if you're in Florida, I'd love to have you guys here at one of our shows on off nights and stuff.
We'll
like
do,
that.
Man. Thanks.
You got cool. It. Anything you want to plug, fellas?
Yeah, in about a year, I'll have another 25 minutes, and I'll be able to record an album.
There you go.
Yeah, that's my plug.
I got an album. I'm Not Well. You can find it everywhere. That's the title of it. I'm Not Well. And if you do listen to it and come to a show, don't expect a lot of new jokes.
Oh.
Yeah, why not, right?
I'm trying, damn it. Yep. I'm trying.
If you're in L.A., come to the White Asshole. We're selling soggy chips.
Bring your dog.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bring that bitch with you. This week,
it's actually a good idea. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. Fucking
no. Plug your career, Doug, on your own podcast. No,
it's going on the bottom. I want you to trust me. It doesn't matter.
I forgot what I was talking about. Anyway, I'm sorry. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Got it, guys. A lot of fun. You guys take care. Happy holidays. And I wish you guys the best, my two friends. There you go. Brandon Vessel and Dale Jones, two very funny fellas who probably took a couple Quaaludes before the show. And that's it for me, everybody. We'll be back next week. I think so. No, I'm not going to. I don't know. We're going to see if we can do a show. I'm actually going to Florida for the holidays. Might give you the best of. If you want to go to anything, go to our podcast site at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. podbean.com. We're on Stitcher, Podbean, all the good stuff. Follow us on there if you're just on the road driving, you want to hear something funny. Not this show. And today, at any rate, guys, follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and on TikTok at Funny Fiduciary. Again, we'll give you something next week. Who knows? But until then, guys, take care. God bless. And we'll see you here at the same spot. Take care.
Wake up! Wake up.